416, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Oh, look who it is. It's time for Emily Miller, Washington Times senior editor of the opinion pages. Hello, Emily.
Hi, Andy.
D.C.'s newest shooter. I want to talk to you first about that because that was really cool. You took D.C. Council Chairman Kwame Brown's shooting?
I did. I took him to a sharpshooter's range last Friday, which is in Lorton, Virginia. He had asked me a couple of weeks ago at City Hall, can I go shooting with you sometime? He said I'd never shot a gun before. And I was really surprised and taken aback. You know, this is the most liberal anti-gun city council, I'd say, arguably in the country.
Yeah.
And he's also, I'd asked him about 6 months ago. He was at the Washington Times. We had this newsmaker roundtable, and I kept asking him why these laws are in place and made it so difficult for me to get a gun. This is when I started my series for the Washington Times. And he said, oh, you know, we don't want more guns on the streets, and we have to address the real reason for crime, which is unemployment. And he actually wouldn't say if he agreed with the Second Amendment. He just said, I don't want more guns.
Mm-hmm.
So flash forward 6 months, and suddenly he wants to go shooting with me. And, you know, right the week before, the city council had a final vote on this legislation that makes the registering a gun easier, makes it easier to get a legal gun in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually, I have to say, I think he was as surprised as I was, because first of all, he's a really good shot.
No kidding.
His first time out, really good. And he was so competitive and enthusiastic about it. I of course, started with the NRA rules and went through that and in the store, and then went through some of the basic handling and, you know, and grip and things like that, and then took him into the range with a .22. And, I mean, he was hitting 7/8 and 9s first time out and had no fear. And then he's like, I want a real gun. I want to use a real gun. So I loaded my 9mm SIG, and he started shooting with that. And then he decided the target was too close. I had it at 5 yards. So he put it at 7, then he put it at 9, and his aide was there. And his aide is a longtime shooter from Missouri and had a gun, his own gun. And so he's like, let's compete. So they put the targets at the farthest end of the range they go. I mean, I don't even know how many yards it was. I couldn't even see it.
Uh-huh.
And they had a competition to see over Ben's Chili Dogs for lunch who could hit the headshots first. And the chairman of the city council, Kwame Brown, hit 3 in a row, and the aide, who has been shooting all his life, hit 0.
That's phenomenal.
It was hilarious, and he was so enthusiastic. He's like, if I came here all the time, I'd be really good. And now I really want to go hunting. That's next. That's what I really want to learn, how to use a shotgun. And he was all over the store talking to all the – and he goes, I don't think there are many Democrats here in the store. And, of course, like all the good old boys in Virginia were like, no.
Yeah.
The chairman's dressed in, like, really nice loafers and a tie under a sweater,
yeah.
You know.
The rest of the guys are in camo.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Oh,
so it was a great experience. It was so fun. And then on Tuesday, the city council had the final vote on this legislation that I've been supporting and pushing for in reaction to all the stories I wrote in the paper about how bad the registration process is. And he saw me. I had the cover of the commentary section with me. And he saw me across the city council chamber, and he sort of motioned to me in front of the dais. So I came up, and I held it up to him because there's a huge picture of him in front of a target with his ears on. And he's like, let me see. And then he starts holding it up and showing all the other council members. He's like, look, I made all those shots. I did this one. And tell him how far away it was. Emily, tell him it was a real gun. It was a serious gun, wasn't it? And all of them, like, lose perspective of how they all hate guns and don't know what's going on. And they're all like, you did that. That's great. Mary Che, who's one of the most liberal members and actually wrote the horrible laws in her book, she goes, oh, I've been to the range. I've done this. I've shot.
Really?
It was so bizarre. I mean, they were the strangest source of enthusiasm for guns. So, I mean, my lesson is now, you know, these people who are anti-gun, I just need to get them to the range.
Yeah.
It just totally changes their perspective.
Yeah. I don't know. I've seen that happen many, many times. I think you and I have talked in the past. I was into trap shooting and used to actually travel all around the country to events. And I saw people pick up guns for the first time, you know, sporting guns. And they just became hooked instantly. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's a safety issue at first that you really do have to understand. But beyond that, you know, these are intelligent people. They've got good common sense. They're not going to kill anybody. It's just, you know, it's a hobby.
It is. And I mean, first and foremost, you know, people always say to me, oh, you like to, with the guns, you just like it for fun, for shooting. And I always clarify that I have a gun for self-defense. I mean, that's why I own a gun. That's why I got a gun. But second to it, the reason it's fun is because shooting is fun. It's a challenge. You know, my heart races with all the banging, and it's a challenge. And that's what Mr. Brown kept saying. He's like, this is a sport. I didn't realize this was a sport. And he kept saying that's why he was surprised. Like, I didn't realize it was a sport. He's like, I thought you just hold it up and fire it to say you shot a gun. And I was that. And he, so it was the competitiveness of it that he really enjoyed, like you said. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I want to get to another thing before we let you run out of here today. Cooking the Books, your piece in today's paper. Almost $16 trillion in debt, and here we are still whistling down the same path, and we got to be getting near the edge of the cliff, don't we?
Oh, I think so, you know, and I think and most responsible people know so, that we are, you know, this close to being Greece. And, of course, this president, Obama, has done absolutely nothing about it and will never do anything about it. You know, he refuses to talk about entitlement reform. He refuses to touch anything, you know, any cuts, any real spending cuts, and thinks we can tax Warren Buffett and change the course of our economic future. But what's happening right now in the House is very interesting and I think very positive. Is, you see, as you know, this sequester is happening, and it starts in 2013. And because we borrowed $2 trillion this year, starting last September, and we're borrowing it and spending it at a very rapid rate, the House Republicans demanded dollar-for-dollar cuts. And the supercommittee was unable to find $1 trillion in cuts. So it got pushed into the sequester, which will start hitting with $100 billion due on January 2nd. And will decimate the Pentagon, because half of those cuts comes out of the Pentagon. Decimate it. And Leon Panetta said that openly. Well, the president has done nothing, zero, has no plans, just isn't going to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Paul Ryan, in his budget, one of the side things he did in his budget is to start addressing this issue so that $100 billion can be accounted for before it hits. And he did this big plan of reconciliation, which we've last seen the Democrats use wrongly to pass the health care reform, to pass Obamacare, and because you only need a simple majority in the Senate of the reconciliation. But what it's really supposed to be used is for cutting mandatory accounts, cutting spending by specific spending cuts. And so that's what he did. He tasked six committees to go into their jurisdiction and find upwards usually about $25-30 billion in savings in mandatory accounts. So those accounts are always off limits. They're just autopilot every year, Social Security, Medicare, insurance plans, they just go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Congress can never cut them. So he starts moving things over, and so the Financial Services Committee came out with one yesterday, their reconciliation, which is for $35 billion, and it will cut out this horrible HAMP program, which is supposed to stop foreclosures, but has done absolutely nothing, but wasted billions of dollars. It puts the CFPB, which is, you know, now being run by an unconfirmed agent head who is not at all accountable, it moves their budget into discretionary so that at least Congress has oversight of how this money is being, I would think, wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of other really important areas. So, you know, this is not only going to be $35 billion over 10 years, but it's going to start, and all the committees are doing this. And it's just really positive. Unfortunately, as you know, even getting 51 votes in the Democratic Senate is going to be a challenge. But I think lining these bills up this year, I mean, they still have to deal with this sequester in January, but at least lining these mandatory savings up this year, if hopefully there's a Republican president next year, they can start making these major long-term savings.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'm going to have to say goodbye for this week, but keep up the good work on this and at the range. One day you're going to be a sharpshooter, and you'll probably leave this job, and you'll go to the Olympics or something.
I don't think so. Thank you.
See you later, Emily.
Have a good day.
Well, you too. Emily Miller. Emily is Washington Times senior editor of the opinion pages. 426, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.